For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to the Red Zone Report right here on the Built in Buffalo YouTube, Facebook, and X pages. Welcome to the show. Welcome, everybody, again to the Red Zone Report brought to you by Monster Energy on the Built in Buffalo YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter pages. And I'm your boy Izzy, aka That Freaking Puerto Rican, and I am here to deliver some content. Let's go, Bills, right? And support your Buffalo Bills content creators. Don't just support us, support everybody. If you like to watch, you know, Buffalo Fanatics Cover One, whoever, whatever your style is, support content creators and support Built in Buffalo. We have shows all week, including Spaces. Every Tuesday on X or Twitter, whichever you want to call it, we do a Spaces now on X at 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. I've been on it every time so far. Our president Lance has been on there. Akeem, one of the founders, he's been on there. And we're looking to get more of our Built in Buffalo guys on there. But you guys can jump in and join in and ask questions on X. There's no membership needed. All you got to do is subscribe to Built in Buffalo or follow Built in Buffalo on X. And you're in there, baby boy. You can come in here. Or ladies, you know, come in here and chat with us. We enjoy doing that. It's so much fun. It's gone on for an hour and a half every single time we've done it. Sometimes it takes a little longer to warm up, but we start at 9, so everybody knows, 9 o'clock, Tuesdays, p.m. If you got nothing better to do and you want to talk Bills football, come holler at Built in Buffalo. We're on there. Shout out to the guys who've been on there already. I've actually reached out to a couple of them in DMs, and without further ado, I'm going to hit some of these chat points up. My man, Junie, popping back up in here. What up, Izzy? How you doing, Junie? Good to see you, brother. My actual brother, Marcial, or Marshall, or as he calls himself, Marcel. Go, Bills. Love you too, bro. Camera a little blurry in the middle. Yeah, I gotta get a new camera. I'm looking to replace this thing. But yeah. So one more week of camp. Yep. Then the real shit heats up. Yes, it does. The shit's going to be good. Preseason's coming up. We get to see what these roster spots are going to look like. And, you know, this show right here is because of that, right? We're going to see, you know, we had the red and blue that just happened. And now we have the preseason coming up. We play the Bears, I believe it is. And then we're going to see who belongs and who doesn't belong, right? And I used to hate the preseason. I still don't want to go to any preseason games. Like, I wouldn't want to drive to Buffalo to go to a preseason game. Wouldn't want to drive to Chicago either, or, you know, anywhere too far away. But if they're playing the Panthers in the preseason right here in Carolina, I'm there. But if not, you know, I'm chilling at home because I want to get the bird's eye view of everything that's happening. I want to see the replays. I want to see it clear and crystal. And so, yeah, the preseason starts coming up. As far as I know, the first preseason game is on my birthday. Yeah, I don't have it up there. Never mind. But yeah, August 10th is my birthday next week. So, or was it next Saturday? Something like that. Anyway, is that only on X? Yes, it is. It's only on X. Only on X. So if you go on X, follow Built in Buffalo, it should pop up in your notifications if you allow notifications. 9 p.m. Tuesdays. Good evening, Mafia and Izzy. Good evening, Sandra. Good evening. And nothing, John, we'll be advertising that this week, our X Spaces. So you should see them in our YouTube or Facebook pages. You know, you should see the thing pop up in there. Blur is a wing stain. It might be a wing stain. I mean, get the camera. Give me that thing. Look at that. Let's see if it's something that can be wiped off. You guys got a little glimpse of my messy-ass room. That's the man cave. Who cares? It's supposed to be a little messy. I don't know if that's any better, but I'm looking to get a new camera. My man says, shavers over Claypool got to be available. Hey, man, that's one thing. But the other thing is, Shaver's been making plays, baby. He's been making plays. But we're going to get to all that. I'm trying to say hi to everybody in the comments. Miss Sandra, John Roberts, Scott Blakely, my brother, Junie, Scott Banker. Heck yeah, I cannot wait. Hey, everybody. Hello, Scott. And Jacob. What up, Izzy? What up, Jacob? Good to see you here again. Happy to have you. All right, now that all the pleasantries are out of the way, as my man I'm forgetting his name now, King Lowski, is a Jets fan. He's always in the AFC East Roundtable talking junk to TD Finstalk, which is fine with me because I do too. But yeah, it's time to talk about these guys who are making noise. And like I always do, I use the kind of Madden roster format to kind of work down my list. And so the first one who is looking to move up the depth chart is, in fact, wide receiver Tyrell Shavers. Dude came on the scene last year, undrafted rookie free agent, and he was in the practice squad last year. Right? He wasn't going to make the roster. You know, they had their guys that they paid, you know, Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy, and those guys didn't work out. But apparently, according to Coach McDermott, Tyrell Shavers has been very consistent with his abilities. He's been very consistent on the field. He's been very consistent showing up to the facilities early. He's been very consistent in his route running. He's been very consistent with leaving last and making sure that he touches bases with his coaches and his quarterbacks to see what they like. And now he's been getting a lot more first-team reps. I haven't heard of a single drop he's had. I have not heard anything really negative about the guy. Everything I have heard about Tyrell Shavers says, as my man John Roberts says, stock is up. Tyrell Shavers' stock is going up. To begin the offseason, and training camp for that matter, you know, OTAs and minicamp and all that stuff, my wide receiver room was Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, freaking Mac Hollins, MVS, and Chase Claypool. And now I have my doubts about Chase Claypool and MVS. Chase Claypool's been hurt, toe injury. If you're not out there showing you can do it, then they don't know that you can do it. And that's a real problem because he hasn't got a lot of, you know, reps with the ones. He started getting reps with the ones, and then he hurt his toe. And that's very unfortunate for him, but the Bills might be finding a diamond in the rough. They might be finding a diamond in the rough, and you grab it. Hey, come on over here. And if this kid can develop over years, you never know. He might be a solid number three wide receiver in the NFL one day. He could be potentially a solid number one. We don't know for sure. We don't know what he's got. But I would say, you know, like a solid number three guy, outside guy who, you know, plays whenever you substitute out. I'm cool with that. Man, Jacob says Bills wide receivers are underrated. They are underrated, but that's cool because I like them underrated and under the radar. So that way when it's time to play the game, the other teams are caught slipping and sleeping. They can sleep and slip on whatever banana peels, and they can sleep on whatever players they want. At the end of the day, if the Bills are under the radar, that is a win for us. I think that Tyrell Shavers is wide receiver six as of right now, and I think we keep six wide receivers. That coconut water is good. Let's see. I say keep five wide receivers and four tight ends. I don't know, Scott. I don't know. I don't know if I would keep Quentin Morris over Tyrell Shavers, especially with what Tyrell Shavers has been doing. Even though I do love me some Quentin Morris action, every time he catches the ball now, it seems to be a touchdown. Unless it's in the field of play, and then it's a fumble that gets ripped out. So I don't know about four tight ends, especially if you're keeping Gilliam. You know, if you're not keeping Gilliam, then maybe you keep four tight ends and four receivers, or six receivers. But I don't know if I see that happening. I do, however, like. That Tyrell Shavers is doing his thing. I like the fact that he's getting first team reps, and I like the fact that he is really starting to catch on. That tells me that the Bills found somebody not in the draft, who had potential, and they're helping him realize his potential. I really, really like this kid, and I'm hoping that he makes the team. Right, and I've got eight players on here that I'm looking at who are truly moving up the depth chart. I mean, you could argue that Keon Coleman is moving up the depth chart, as in he's like wide receiver two or three, but is working his way to becoming wide receiver one. Today at camp, he had an excellent catch that he's done consistently every week or every day in training in camp. He's had a play that was like, wow. And that's very important. It's very impressive for a rookie wide receiver to be doing that. He has an argument to be moving up the depth chart, but we'll see what happens. I like Keon Coleman. I didn't always like him, but now that he's here, that's our guy, and he's been impressive. So we'll see what happens. Let's see. Josh Allen is positive on how Tyrell is doing. He's been very positive about Tyrell Shavers. And that I'm sure that means the world to Tyrell Shavers. I'm sure it means the world to him because it gets him one step closer to making this roster. Now, the next player is tight end Zach Davidson. Zach Davidson has been making plays. He catches touchdowns. He gets yak. Yards after the catch are very important in this offense. That's why we moved away from guys like Stephon Diggs. We went and got guys like Zach Davidson, who potentially, let me fix something real quick, because he is Zach with an H, not a K. Force of habit. He's been making plays and twerking that booty. That's what he's been doing. Zach Davidson's been out there catching balls, scoring touchdowns, and twerking in the end zone. I don't know how much I like the twerking in the end zone part, but I do like that Zach Davidson is out there challenging Quentin Morris for that third tight end spot. And honestly, with the way he's been playing, he might be a guy who gets to take a spot. He might be a guy who goes out there and takes that spot from Quentin Morris. I like Quentin Morris, but he's not expendable to me on this team. He's not somebody who I'm so loyal to that that we have to have him on the roster. He's tight end three. And if something was to happen to Kincaid or Knox, Morris is a guy who I would want to go out there over Davidson is a guy who I'd want to go out there over a Quentin Morris. Good route running. I believe he's taller than him, too. Let me see. Tight ends. I have it pulled up here. He is 6'7", 251 pounds. Quentin Morris is 6'2", 252. So we have a taller guy. Went to Central Missouri. Quentin Morris went to Bowling Green. I'm not going to sit here and compare those two colleges. They're not big schools. I believe they're both Division I, but neither one of them is like a top-tier college. But I don't really care about that. I care who is having that chemistry with Josh Allen, Mitchell Trubisky, who's out there making the plays in camp. John Roberts says he played with the ones today. Yeah, baby. I like that. He had to because Dawson Knox was on a vet rest day. Also, he had a groin injury. He'll be back. Anytime they say vet rest day and groin and wrist or whatever it is, it's usually not a big deal. So I expect Dawson Knox to be back in a pinch. My man Jacob said he could be tight end three. I agree, Jacob. I agree. He could be tight end three. And Zach Davidson is only 26 years old. And Quentin Morris is 25. So it's not really a big difference there. Stacy Lee says Reggie Gilliam is basically the fourth tight end. Thank you, Stacy, for the comment. I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate you watching us on YouTube. We're trying to get these YouTube numbers up, guys. So if you guys get a chance, give us a like on YouTube. That'd be great. The likes on Facebook, they help too, though. Please like, share on any platform. But the YouTube numbers, we really, really, really would love some help with that. Now, next player is a guy that we signed. He was the third defensive end that we signed, because we signed Epinesa first, I believe, then Tuhill, and then we signed Dwayne Smoot. Came from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, he had a down year coming off of a injury. We all know how that works, right? We've seen Tre'Davious White, Von Miller now both come off of, you know, leg injuries and come back, have a kind of down year, and then all of a sudden they Dwayne Smoot. They have a resurgence, so to speak. And so Dwayne Smoot comes here. Last year, I'm going to pull up some of his numbers real quick. So if you see me looking up above the camera, having a screen directly back there. Laptop's here with my camera, and then another TV over there. 6'3", 264 pounds, ran a 4.7, 7.40, and played his college ball at the University of Illinois. Drafted in the 2017 draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the third round with selection number 68. He is 29 years old, born in 1995 in March. The 2nd of March, to be specific. And last year, the numbers were not good. His PFF grade overall was a 42.4. But if you go to the years before that, go to 2022, 70.3. So the injury clearly impacted him, in my opinion. And in camp, he's been proving it. Dwayne Smoot has been out there. He's been sealing the edge very well. To me, he is like he's an upgraded Shaq Lawson. You know, like Shaq Lawson is good at sealing the edge. Shaq Lawson is very good at, you know, getting sacks outside of the pocket, like, you know, closing off quarterbacks who can run. And on occasion, he'll get you a sack inside the pocket. And I think Dwayne Smoot is a better player than that, even though I think he is the same type of player as that. I mean, in 2022, he had 6 sacks. He had 36 pressures. He had 6 QB hits, 24 hurries, 10 solo tackles, 4 assisted tackles. And that was him as a third defensive end, which is likely what he's looking to become here in Buffalo. I'd say he's third or fourth defensive end, depending on the down and distance, right? I think most of us see Von Miller as that third down defensive end, that third down pass rusher. And what you say? Let's see. There we go. I was going to give a fifth rounder for Gilliam. Good luck there. Yeah, Jacob, I don't think someone would, because most teams don't play with a tight end. A fullback. He plays tight end as well, but it's not likely, although he's a very good special teamer. It's possible, but it's not likely. If you get something from him, it's probably a sixth or seventh, and it's probably a year removed. It wouldn't even be this year's sixth or seventh. It'd be next year's. But it's not a crazy thing. I see you guys discussing it, but it is doubtful that you'd get a fifth. If you got a fifth, it's probably 2 years down the line. But either way, I actually prefer keeping 3 tight ends and keeping Gilliam. So to me, the battle is not between Gilliam, Morris, and Davison. It's between Davison and Morris as that third tight end, that pass catcher. And I would keep Gilliam. That's what I would do. I love me some Reggie Gilliam. He gets us a touchdown every year. He's good at pass blocking and run blocking, even though I do see us using a fullback less this year. So if he's on a chopping block, I think that they use that extra roster spot for a different position, like defensive line or wide receiver, linebacker, safety. I wouldn't see him doing it for a fourth tight end. It just to me, that's a bit much, especially when you can probably get Quentin Morris or Zach Davis on the practice squad. We'll see what happens, though. We'll see what happens. Now, Dwayne Smoot. The man has been electric in camp. He's been out there lighting it up. He's been like a man on fire. He wants to be here. He got paid pretty well to be here. And with that being said, when you pay somebody like that, they're probably going to make the team. But when you pay someone like that, like a guy who's going to make the roster, like you guaranteed almost all his money, and then they start producing, you almost have no choice but to have that person on your roster, and Dwayne Smoot has done that. He has been out there lighting it up. He's gotten after the quarterback. He's gotten after the running backs, TFLs for days. Got a little gnat here pissing me off. He's he's just been doing very well for this defense. And I think that on those third downs where it's third and one, third and two, instead of seeing Von Miller out there, you're going to see Dwayne Smoot out there with an A.J. Epinesa or Greg Rousseau. Right? That's your rundown package, right? It's third and two. They're trying to get the first down. You're going to trot out there A.J. Epinesa. You're going to trot out there Big Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver for the penetration. And then you're going to put Dwayne Smoot on the opposite side of Greg Rousseau so that the edges can be sealed and the linebackers can do their work. To me, that's very important. And the reason why they didn't bring back Shaq Lawson is because they brought in Dwayne Smoot. I think if we didn't bring in Dwayne Smoot, that Shaq Lawson was an option. But this made him expendable. You know, like we didn't need to bring him in. And so Dwayne Smoot is a guy I see climbing up as that, you know, third down option on run plays. What in the? See, what happens to the salary cap when we cut a player for the 53? So it depends on their contract, Jacob. If they have a lot of guaranteed money, then that money gets converted into dead cap. Gets converted into dead cap money. And when money gets converted into dead cap, it eats away at the salary cap either this year or next year. I think after June 1st, and I think this applies to any player cut after June 1st, it's half of that guarantee this year and half that guarantee next year. So not exactly positive exactly how that works, but we'll see what happens. I don't see a lot of the guys who making that guaranteed money getting cut, like MVS, even though he's made some plays now recently, but he didn't start that way. He had to work up to it. He's been starting to make some plays, so I'm a little more comfortable with that, him making the team because of his contract. But Dwayne Smith's been doing it since the beginning. Since he got here, he's been doing it since the beginning. He's a guy that you're going to keep, right? Casey Tuhill's guaranteed like $40,000. He's going to have to play his ass off to make this roster, right? He's going to have to play his ass off. And Dwan Smoot, as someone said up here, John Robert, Smoot can play inside as well. Yeah, so he can play some one tech if you need to give Ed Oliver a break. I can see it happening on passing downs if you're looking to really get after the quarterback from the inside. I don't see it happening a lot, but if something happened to Ed, you have that flexibility there. But I think that in that case, you'd see more Dwayne Carter in there. And so, yeah, I think that Dwayne Carter is going to be the guy who takes over for Ed whenever he's tired and needs a break. But if there's an injury to like a Dwayne Carter or a Ed Oliver, this guy becomes the backup. So he's moving up like two roster, you know, positions, that defensive end and defensive tackle. Man says, rumor is Dwan Smoot is an upgrade from Shaq Lawson. I said that, man. Come on now. I said that. But yeah, Dwan Smoot. Very excited about that acquisition now. I wasn't so much when we first got him because I saw his last year stuff. And then, you know, as I tend to do, I was like, you know what? I didn't put in the work. I was lazy. Let me go ahead and look it up. And far more impressed with the production that he's had in the past prior to last season. Now, next guy on the list. He's a familiar name. He's been playing with the second team defense mostly now. And we have some veterans that we brought in. One of them just got hurt. But I think this guy has been out playing him anyway. He saw some reps today in the defense at middle linebacker next to Matt Milano. And that is linebacker Baylon Specter. Let's go, baby. I love me some Baylon Specter. Look, I live here in the Carolinas. He played at Clemson. It's a thing. Like, I try to support my locality, right? I'm a Syracuse fan, as you would see from my NCAA record. But, man, Baylon Specter, who I did watch at college because Clemson, Duke, UNC, NC State, South Carolina, they're all on TV here because I'm in Southern North Carolina. So Raleigh is right up the street. It's an hour up. And when you get to Raleigh, you have NC State, Duke, UNC, Wake Forest, all right there concentrated in that small area. And here in Fayetteville, you have Fayetteville State, which produced cornerback Joshua Williams, who's on the Chiefs now, which I wanted for the Bills, but neither here nor there. That kid's big. He's like 6'3", 210, 215. He's a big corner. And then you have South Carolina, Clemson, a bunch of other schools, you know, just south of here. And I think it's really nice to have so many teams in ACC that are in the area, because then when they play Syracuse, I get to watch Syracuse, and then I get to watch these teams in the Carolinas. And it's good football. I mean, it's not SEC football unless you're looking at South Carolina. But I watched him play at Clemson, and I love the way he plays. He plays like a man with his hair on fire. The only problem with Baylen Specter is he gets hurt too much. Or he's gotten hurt too much in the past, right? And I wouldn't say that it's an injury bug with him necessarily, because he's not hurting the same thing. It's not like his knee's bad and he's going to continue hurting his knee, or his shoulder's bad. It's been like, I got hurt here and I got hurt there, and this bone's connected to that bone. And, you know, it's been an issue like that. It's been an issue like that. And this gnat is pissing me off. I'm going to get him. But Baylen Specter has been playing very well in camp. Very, very well. Thumbs up to Baylen Specter. He's played well in the past for us. He played well for us last year in that playoff game against the Steelers. And then he got hurt. And then he was unavailable. And then we got AJ Klein. And then we lost the next game. And I think if Baylen Specter had been healthy for that game, we had a better chance against the Chiefs. I'm not saying we beat the Chiefs, but I think we have a better chance than AJ Klein. He's at least fast enough to keep up with Kelsey. You know, he's got the instincts there, but he's a very talented guy, especially for a seventh round pick. He's short. He's only 6 foot, but he is 235. So he's not small. Like, there's a difference between short and small. He's short. He's a little teapot. But I think that Baylen Specter is a guy who is starting to move up this depth chart. He may have passed Moreau or Deion Jones. I think that one of those two guys is making the roster now. It's going to be Moreau or Deion Jones. And Moreau, from what I remember, is not guaranteed a whole lot of money. I'm going to pull up that contract right there. Spotrac. It's Nicholas Moreau, I believe. NFL, Buffalo Bills. We'll go position. Nicholas Moreau. Oh, hurry up. Come on. So he signed a 1-year deal, signing bonus $250,000, guaranteed $750,000. Okay, so he's guaranteed $750,000. So half his contract is guaranteed. Where's Deion Jones now? Position. I gotta sort my position every time now. Come on now. Deion Jones right there. He's guaranteed next to nothing. Looks like. Cap hit $985,000. Signing bonus, nothing. Guaranteed at signing, nothing. Total contract, $1,210,000. Moreau is more likely to make the roster. But I think that the roster spot is going to be between those two guys. That's where it's at. Let's see. If we had him last year, we would have beat the Chiefs. I think it's possible. I don't know if we did, but it's a thing. See, I like Dorian Williams. I like Dorian Williams too. And I like me some Dorian Williams. He's very young, upcoming player, and he's a heat-seeking missile. He's a heat-seeking missile. Message, AJ Klein equals Kiko Alonso. Ouch. I don't know. AJ Klein wasn't really a dirty player. Kiko became a dirty player. I didn't like that. See, does Gabriel Stevenson get a practice squad exemption spot because of international players? No, Gabriel Stevenson, or Gable. It's actually Gable, G-A-B-L-E. Gable, like Dan Gable. He was named after Dan Gable. He does not get a... exception. The guy from the UK does. I forget his name because I don't think he's making the roster. But Gable Stevenson does not get a roster exemption. He probably will be on the practice squad, but it is what it is. I mean, Daniel Garis. Hey, Izzy. Go Bills. Go Bills, baby. See, Moreau has been hurt most of the camp, or am I wrong? He's been hurt most of the camp, but he got hurt here recently. I know that. Him and Ulofosio got hurt. So could he play middle linebacker? If you're talking about Bill Inspector. That's what he was playing today when he went out there with Matt Milano. And before anybody gets worried, Terrell Bernard did not get hurt. They were just giving Dorian Williams some playing time with the ones, and he did pretty good. I see what you mean there. I see what you mean. Hard hitter, couldn't cover. Yeah. Kiko got a shady. Let's go, baby. Best part of that. Yes, sir. Yes, it was. I love that. I love that. Man saying Slayton. The guy from the UK, I'm guessing. Yeah. Now I gotta go in here and sort it out. Position, tackle. Spencer Brown, Richard Garage. Tyler Grable. Wow, they don't even have him on the... Oh, yeah, because he's exempt. All right, never mind. He's exempt, so they don't have him on the thing there. If I go to the Bills website, which I already had pulled up, let's go. Alec Anderson, Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, Brian Vandermark. Travis Clayton. Not Slayton, Clayton. So Travis Clayton, 6'7", 301, big boy from England. Yeah. But yeah, Bale Inspector, I believe, is starting to move up that depth chart. He's probably linebacker number 5 now. It's Milano, Bernard, obviously. And then you have Moreau and Deion Jones. And then I'd say Bale Inspector and Dorian Williams. But I don't know, because the next player on my list, who's also been making some noise at linebacker, is Dorian Williams. He's also on my list. Him and Bale Inspector have been making some noise together with the second team. They've both gotten a lot of second team reps. You weren't that wrong, man. You were one letter off. It's okay, man. Slayton, Clayton. Don't beat yourself up, man. Enough people in the world to beat you up for you. You don't need to do it to yourself. Remember that. Write that down. But yeah, Dorian Williams is a guy who I see specifically at outside linebacker. I don't see him in the middle. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he could prove me wrong on that when the time comes to move on from Matt Milano. But him and Bale Inspector have been playing right on the level of Deion Jones and Nicholas Moreau, and they were draft picks. I see them making this roster. Ulofosio just got hurt. He could be stashed this year on the injured reserve. And then you get another year of Spectre, let him show you what he's got, and we'll see what happens. We're going to do a 53-man roster prediction soon, maybe after the second preseason game. Sounds about right, yeah. Yeah. If the first preseason game is compelling, I might, do like the offense 1 week and then the defense the other week to round it out. But those shows take a while, because I'll sit here and I'll break down every single player, and 53 dudes takes a while. So I might have to split that up into two shows. See, Dorian played in nice special teams also. Yeah, Dorian Williams, again, if you're playing Super Mario Kart, he is the red turtle shell. Well, no, he's the green one. He's the green turtle shell. You shoot him in a straight line, and whatever is in front of him, he is going to hit, and he's going to hit it hard. We need him to become the red turtle shell, so that way when there's a tight end going across the field, we can launch him and he can follow right on their hip. Dorian Williams, excellent player. I think he's just, last year he was new to such a complex defense. We're going to see what he does. He could climb this depth chart and become linebacker 3. He could become that third guy. I mean, Daniel Gary says Dorian Williams is a third-round pick. He's definitely making this roster. I'm 99% sure he is going to make the roster. Unless something happens and he gets injured and they throw him an injured reserve, which would technically take him off the roster, but he would still be under contract, that whole mess. I'm going to cut this tag off the shirt. It's irritating me. I don't see him not being under contract with the Buffalo Bills in this year. I just don't. I think that the potential is there. The athleticism is there. The want to and the instincts are there. It's just going to take him a little more time, Maybe it takes him a little more time. Maybe he just plainly lights it up. And if that's the case, then, you know, so be it. I'm down for a guy learning for a couple of years. And then in their third year, we get to see what they really got. I mean, Kyrie Elam, we've done that with. He's a first-round pick. I know a lot of people, you know, proclaim him to be a bust, but he's looking to prove that, prove otherwise this year in camp. He's a guy who's on the come up too. So we'll, spoiler, we're talking about him too. So let's see. Matter of fact, Kyrie Elam is the next guy on my list. So Senor Kyrie Elam was, in my opinion, hindered yesterday or last year, yesteryear. And the year before that, his rookie year, by the defensive line coach. Or, excuse me, defensive backs coach. And one sec. Five or six linebackers for the roster. I'd say six. Six linebackers for the roster. I got Milano. I got Bernard. I got Dorian Williams. I've got Nicholas Moreau. Baylen Spector. And then Ulofosio. Or Deion Jones. If Ulofosio goes to IR, then Deion Jones. And if not, then I think Deion Jones won't make the roster. Yeah, but he's kind of like listed as a strong side linebacker where he plays. We're playing almost like a 3-4 or a 3-3-5, and he's like the end with his hand up. Sometimes he'll put his hand in the dirt, but he also plays with his hand up to rush the passer. And so I think that we keep six, and Von Miller will be the seventh linebacker, even though he's listed, even though he really plays end. Let's see. Elam is number five this season. Yep. He changed his number. Number five was his college number and high school number. And so he wanted to, hang on one sec. I got my dogs flipping out for something. Let's see what the heck is going on. Oh, what's that? My son. Okay. They hear that door and they just lose it. There's four of them and they just loud. Crazy dogs. See, if he doesn't work out, we can trade him in week eight. You got to tell me who you're talking about. You're talking about Kyrie Elam? Because I think he's going to work out just fine. Now that we've not, I think his Butler was the coach's name, who was coach for him for the first 2 years of his career. It didn't work out. You know, he was trying to, you know, fit a square peg in a round hole. Butler leaves this offseason after not getting the defensive coordinator job that was given to Bobby Babbage, and they mutually parted ways. They brought in Adai from the University of Miami, previously of the University of Georgia, I believe, who is a man coverage guy. Even though he's going to be the cornerbacks coach in a zone cover defense, it allows the Buffalo Bills to have zone coverage as their main concept, but man coverage to be more, to be better coached. I mean, let's just be honest. You can better coach man coverage if you have a guy in the building who specializes in man coverage. And you brought that guy in now. He's excellent coaching man coverage. He did it in the SEC and the ACC very successfully, by the way. And now he's here to coach the Buffalo Bills up. And Kyrie Elam looks excellent. Jameel Adai, there you go. Jameel Adai. Let's see. Go Bills. He had a footage review, yeah. Last year he had a foot injury, but they weren't looking to start him last year. They didn't feel he was ready. It was Trey White and Benford, and then when Trey White went down, they went and traded for Rasul Douglas after Kyrie got hurt. You know, you don't make a big trade like that, acquiring a guy who's really good like a Douglas, if your plan is to put Kyrie back in after he gets back. And when Benford went down later in the season, Kyrie went out there and played fairly well. He didn't play great, but he played fairly well. And now that we have a guy who can actually help him use his skill sets to better, you know, facilitate his defense, Kyrie Elam is balling in practice. He's getting first team interceptions. He's balling out with the second team. Him and Benford are alternating, you know, reps. He's even alternating some with Rasul. I don't think he has a chance to un-ask one of those guys of their roster spot this year. But next year, I think that Kyrie Elam will be CB2 or CB1, probably CB2, and that it's going to be Christian Benford and Kair Elam, right? This is Rasul Douglas's last year under contract. He's 30. He's 30 years old. And so I don't see the Buffalo Bills re-signing him unless he's willing to play ball with a, you know, lower cost contract. Excuse me. He's number 31. Where's his age? Hardy. Rasul Douglas. He's 29. So he's 29 years old. And he'll be 30 on August 29th, which is my son's birthday. That's awesome. Nice. He played at West Virginia, third round pick, 99th overall. He was selected by the Packers, I think. I'm not sure. But I think that after this year, because after this year, he has a void year. In fact, he has three void years, 2025, 2026, and 2027. So they split up that $9 million into four-year payments of $1.375 million. None of it was guaranteed. So what they did was they guaranteed basically all of it and then split it up over 3 years so that way they could restructure it. That's what they did with Rasul Douglas. If they cut him this year, it's $5.5 million in dead cap. It's not going to happen. He's going to be on the team this year. Also, the sound of saying cut Rasul Douglas sounds stupid to me. I don't even like saying it. It feels stupid. But after this year, he's going to command a pretty solid contract, and he's probably going to want to go out and get it. And the Buffalo Bills are not going to want to pay it. Hang on one second. Thank God I saw that warning. My computer was about to die. Charger came unplugged. But yeah, after this year, if Kair Elam has that bounce back year, which like he wasn't really great yet, but if he has that year that he's supposed to have, that third year where he has an uptick, I see them extending Benford, accepting Kair Elam's fifth year option, and then rolling with those two for the future. That's the future of the Buffalo Bills at corner, in my opinion. And that's why he's on this list. It's not because I see him unseating Christian Benford or unseating Rasul Douglas this year, but he is climbing this depth chart in the sense of he's the first guy off the freaking bench. He's the first guy off the bench, and I believe he's the future if the way things are going, keep going the way they're going. Kair Elam is a guy who has immense potential but was put in the wrong scheme with the wrong coach to teach him that scheme. Now he has the coach. Now he has the ability to use his skill set, press man corner, to better serve a zone defense. I love it. I love the move. I love the fact he did that. And I think that will be something that Sean McDermott implements from now on with his defensive staff. He's going to have, because he has his own specialty. My man Roy has doubts. So check it out. This is not about him being a starter or not. This is his third year, right? Proving to be a starter.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Rasul Douglas on the field, on the team is crazy, right? It's not easy to do. And then Christian Benford's already proven himself to be a starter. Just because those two guys are proven starters doesn't mean that Kyrie Elam cannot prove himself to be a starter. I get the doubt because the first 2 years were pretty crap, but you have to look at the context and the circumstances involved in that. Had a coach in Coach Butler who did not really seem to like his skill set in the defense, or maybe he didn't like him as a person. I have no idea what the intimacy and the depths of that relationship are, were, or could have been. I'm guessing now that he's gone, there is no relationship there anymore. And I'm guessing that when they brought in Jameel Adai, you're going to see a better Kyrie Elam, and you're going to see him substitute in to keep all those three guys fresh, along with a Jamarcus Ingram, by the way, who I really do like as well. Jamarcus Ingram has been outstanding in camp. He's been outstanding for a couple years now, just not outstanding enough to make the roster. And so I think that this third year for Kyrie Elam is going to determine who they move forward with, because if they aren't going to bring back Rasul Douglas, because they may not be able to afford it next year, he's probably going to command, you know, $10 to $15 million. And then you're going to have to pay Benford as well, right? Because Benford, his contract year is next year. You're going to have to give Kyrie Elam, you know, his fifth-year option in order to keep and maintain, you know, a solid hold of the salary cap. And because he hasn't made any Pro Bowls, his number is relatively low for a fifth-year option. It's like when we had Tremaine Edmonds, right? He had a Pro Bowl under his belt, but he was nowhere near an all-pro level. But because he had a Pro Bowl under his belt, that elevated his fifth-year option contract. There's a difference there. Now, if something happens to Rasul Douglas or Christian Benford and Kyrie goes out there and then puts up a Pro Bowl season, well, then there's no doubt. We're all talking about potential here. We're not talking about, you know, what actually is going to happen or what's going to happen. It's not my guaranteed future prediction, but I am predicting that to be the case. I am predicting, and this is going to be probably something that we earmark for a short, I am predicting that Kyrie Elam has an outstanding year as a third option at corner. I'm predicting that Rasul Douglas, after this year, will no longer be a Buffalo Bill because of the contract, because he's going to want to maximize. He's been 30 years old. He's going to have, you know, 2 to 3 more good years, and some team's going to pay him, you know, a 4-year contract, probably worth around $60 million, 15 a year, maybe $40 million, but that's not going to come from the Buffalo Bills. And once that happens, they're going to have to extend Christian Benford because of how he's produced. And then they're going to do the fifth-year option for Kyrie. That's my prediction for the saga that is our cornerback room. And then I see us drafting another cornerback probably between the third and the fifth round next season. Now, if Kyrie Elam does not have that, you can see the Buffalo Bills draft one sooner. And that's my take. Now, let's check out some of these comments, because I only have a couple more players to go. See, third year is huge for young players. Yes, sir. So he will be eligible for that fifth-year option next offseason, barring injuries. He won't get enough starter reps this season either. That's why I have my doubts on that. Good news us. I'm usually wrong. Amen. Come on, Roy. Give yourself better credit than that. I don't think the starting reps matter as much, you know? Just don't. In the regular season, every single rep matters. All of them do. Because you can get burnt and, you know, give up a touchdown on any given play. And I think that, while I think you're wrong on some level here, you're not wrong about him, you know, being eligible for the fifth. I mean, he's eligible for the fifth because he's a first-round pick. He's a first-round pick, so he's eligible for the fifth-year option. It is what it is. But I think that he's going to get plenty of snaps. I think he's going to see the ball plenty of times. Another thing, I hate to bring this up because I do love Christian Benford. He tends to get hurt. He plays a vicious style of ball that, you know, tends to have him miss a few games. And in those games, you're going to see Kaiir Elam have to go in there and handle business. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Daniel Garis comes in and says, I think Rasul's age keeps Bean from extending him. This is his last year as a Bill. Look for Bean to draft a cornerback early next draft. I don't think it'll be that early. Maybe the third round, I think, is probably the soonest we'll do it. I think that next year, depending on how Ray Davis does because of all the fumbles this year, this camp, let's be real here, a lot of fumbles. Ty Johnson's injury and the fact that we generally speaking don't re-sign our running backs under the Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott era, and the fact that James Cook drops a lot of those wide-open touchdowns that would be, they could be looking to draft a running back fairly early. A running back fairly early next year could be in the cards. And that would signal to James Cook that, hey, you know, time's up. Time's up. But I think early next year would be like a third-round pick. Unless, of course, Elam stinks. And if he stinks, then you cut your ties and you cut your losses and you go and draft another one in the first round or the second round. See, first-round picks are eligible for that fifth-year option after their third year is what I meant. Okay, I got you. Yeah. That's what I mean. Look, so after this year. And what? Yeah, after this year. He's been in the league 2 years. This will be year three. So if he balls out after this year, then yeah, he's eligible for it. See, friend Brenda, Elam is a dog. Two picks in two playoff games. He has it. Three great corners is needed against the Dolphins. We have three great corners without Elam. We have Taron Johnson. You know, like, I get it. I'm not trying to down Elam now because I'm high on Elam. Very high on Kaiir Elam. But we have three great corners. Taron Johnson, Rasul Douglas, and Christian Benford all finished in PFF's top 50, I think, corners. Let me pull that up, and then I'll share it real quick. Player grades. We're going to go cornerback. All right, so if I share this screen here. Present. Horns. So if I share the screen here, the number one rated cornerback in the NFL last year, PFF-wise, was Jalen Johnson. If you scroll down to number 8, it's Christian Benford. 11, Rasul Douglas. Scroll down a little further. 17, Taron Johnson. So not the top 50, the top 20. We had three cornerbacks in the top 20 rating last year. We're pretty good at corner. The problem is, if you have an injury, that cornerback room all of a sudden sucks. Unless you have a Kaiir Elam on the roster. Which is why I say that the Buffalo Bills will be drafting another corner next year. No matter what, sometime in that draft, they're going to draft another corner, as they always do. They may skip a year, but when they got guys coming up on contract, they draft a corner. Hell, when Kaiir Elam was drafted, they drafted two that year. Thank God, because the second guy has been lighting it up. So, yeah, I really do like Kaiir Elam, and I want him to make this roster. Let's see. Early next year, OL. I think so, because Connor McGovern's got one or two more years left here, and David Edwards, you know, he's probably going to need to be replaced. They signed him to a two-year deal, but also Spencer Brown. We can't keep everybody, right? So people are going to have to go. And I left Spencer Brown, but he's coming off two surgeries now in his career, one on his neck and one on his shoulder. That's all this area here, or this area, whichever side it was. All that starting to go bad, or his back and his shoulder. Those torso injuries are a nightmare for offensive linemen. And while I like them a lot, they could be investing in an offensive tackle early next draft. Frank Gore Jr., how has he looked? He's looked solid. He hasn't looked great. He hasn't looked bad. He's probably going to be on the practice squad. I think that he's a guy that they could bring back next year in the camp, and he could make more noise. But as of right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Like, he's not flashing greatness, but his instincts are good. And so that's a positive for him. Like, if something happens and one of our, you know, three guys goes down, he's a guy I'm confident they'll bring in to be running back three, and it'll be fine. So, yeah, he's doing fine. Is that PFF grades? Yes, it was, sir. Brown is getting re-signed. Spencer Brown, I don't know if he's getting re-signed, but I don't know. I like Spencer Brown a lot. But when you look at next year, if I pull up the contracts, let's see. Free agent year, 2025. Spencer Brown, Rasul Douglas, Mike Edwards, Mac Hollins, Austin Johnson, Reggie Gilliam, Lyle Collins. A lot of not impressive names there. If those are all the names, then Spencer Brown is in. Nicholas Morrow, Dwayne Smoot might be a guy they want to bring back next year. MVS, yep, good to go on that. Reed Ferguson, Will Clapp, Ty Johnson. Can I get some names of quality here? DeMar Hamlin, if he plays well this year, he's a guy that could really make this roster long-term. And Taylor Rapp's contract is really a one-year deal with a two-year option on the end of it. So if DeMar Hamlin outplays him, they could re-sign Hamlin and then roll with Hamlin and Bishop instead of Rapp and Bishop. We'll see what happens, though. The year has to happen first, so. There's that. Chase Claypool, Trey McKitty, KJ Hamler, Darrington Evans. I'm gonna stop saying their names and see if I find one of quality. Kingsley Jonathan, that's another guy they might want to keep. Depends on how he plays this year, if he plays with us. Ryan Vandermark is an interesting name who could really make some noise to be extended. I really like the way he's played. Alec Anderson, Zach Davidson, Daquan Jones is the first guy whose contract is up after next year. Gable Steveson. Yeah, so he could be re-signed. He could be re-signed, but I think Christian Benford is going to be a higher priority than that because it'll be after his third year, and you're going to want to sign him early. But it's possible. It's possible. So do you feel that Dawkins has the potential to be Jason Peters caliber player longevity? Longevity, yes. The actual quality of defensive or offensive tackle, no. Jason Peters was a monster. Like, he was the best left tackle for like 8 straight years. And then he got hurt, you know, like he started being one of the best tackles in the NFL with the Bills. And then he forced us to trade him. He went to Philadelphia and was the best tackle in the league until his like 10th or 11th year. Then he got hurt. But then when he wasn't hurt, he was still one of the best defense or left tackles in the NFL. So Jason Peters was a freaking monster. Now, allow me some reprise. Deion Dawkins is a freaking monster too. But he's just not on the Jason Peters level. Jason Peters was a freaking freak. He was crazy. I'm looking at PFF now, and Deion Dawkins was the number 22 ranked tackle. Not left tackle, but tackle overall. And he's in good company. I mean, above him, Penei Sewell, Trent Williams, Jordan Mailata, Tyron Smith, Braden Smith, Tristan Wirfs, Bernard Raiman, Christian Darrisaw, Taylor Decker, Morgan Moses, Trent Brown, Colton Miller, Lane Johnson, Rob Havenstein, Zach Tom, Teron Armstead, Rashawn Slater, Andrew Thomas, Garrett Bowles, Caleb McGarry, Lamry Tunsil, and then Deion Dawkins. That's PFF grades. If you look at their stats, he only allowed like one sack last year. So Deion Dawkins is a beast. I think I personally have him in the top 15 tackles in the NFL, left or right. But some names on that list there above him that belong there. That's where I'll leave that. In my opinion, agreed, Gore is a practice squad guy. Yep. If, when, where the Buffalo Bills draft a running back next year depends on how Cook and Davis do this season. McDee does not tolerate lack of ball security in running backs. Correct, including dropping passes. Man, Ed Ryan says beast. Yep. Yeah, they were beasts. They were beasts. Is there any real competition at field goal kicker or punter since releasing Browning? No, there's not. Now, when teams start cutting guys and looking for a new kicker or looking for a new punter, we may see it then. But Tyler Bass is our kicker. He's not going anywhere. His contract is basically ironclad. He's not going anywhere. He had a down year last year. He's been really good since he was drafted, except last year. We'll see what happens. I'm not so quick to give up on a player. Every kicker has a bad year every now and then. The exception being Justin Tucker, really. And Justin Tucker's, you know, he had a bad playoffs that one year against us where he missed those two field goals. So every kicker goes through their little lull. It is what it is. See, Jason Peters is a Hall of Fame offensive tackle. Love Dawkins, and he is very good, but not quite at Peters' level. But glad Deion got an extension. In my opinion, he is a top 10 left tackle. Yeah, I'd say left tackle, he's probably top 7, top 8. You know? Penei Sewell's up there. Trent Williams is up there. Jordan Mailata, Tristan Wirfs, Christian Darrisaw, Taylor Decker, and then I'd say Deion Dawkins. And I'm not even sure if all those guys are left tackles. But the rest of those guys, they may have graded better, but I think that they had more potential on those lines. So I would say that Dawkins is above average, but not elite. I would say he's better than above average, but not elite. I'd say he is... I'd say he's an excellent left tackle. He's not elite, though. Elite is the top echelon. Elite is Penei Sewell. Elite is Trent Williams. Elite is freaking Tristan Wirfs. Those guys are elite. Deion Dawkins is a tier below that. Now, can Deion Dawkins reach that? Of course he could. He just has to do it. You get out there in the field and take care of business. That's what it is. So he's lost his title. Bass-o-matic. You're talking about freaking Lance Bass? I'm kidding. Kidding. Tyler Bass. Bye. All right. So next player on the list who really hadn't been making much noise until this week, or this past week, who, you know, is a slot cornerback, Daquan Hardy. He was drafted to be a special teamer. All of a sudden, he's out there making plays with the second unit and some with the first unit, from what I heard. I could have heard wrong, but mostly with the second unit. Making noise out there against Mitchell Trubisky as a slot corner. Like, I know Cam Lewis is taking most of the snaps behind Taron Johnson, but watch out for this kid. Daquan Hardy is not laying down for anyone. He wants to play, and I like that. I like when a kid comes out of college and is like, oh, you brought me in to be a kicker turner? That's cute. Watch this. And then he goes and he takes somebody's job. Which I'm fine with. Look, I love me some Cam Lewis, but man, like, I love me some Cam Lewis. But if this Daquan Hardy kid beasts out, balls out in the preseason, Cam, your job, you know, I think your security is pretty good, but it could be a little rattled. I think that Cam Lewis is going to make this team because he plays too many positions: safety, outside corner, inside corner, and sometimes he ends up in there at dime. I think that. Man, like, this kid right here could be something special. He could be something special. And he's got a 4-year contract with the Buffalo Bills, and Taron Johnson's got 4 more years left. Just saying. Izzy had to go to an NSYNC concert back in 2001. Somehow I survived. Did you go to the one in Buffalo? Because I went to that concert. Yeah, I was like 16. And so here's the funny thing. My cousin Elitis, or Lee as we call her, she went with me to the Cash Money Millionaires Rough Riders concert in Rochester. So we saw DMX, Juvenile, Baby, Lil Wayne was there before he was Lil Wayne. We saw all that. We were in a sea of weed smoke and just gangsters. We was just out there, and it was a blast at that concert in 2001, or it might have been 2000. I think we went to NSYNC. We went to DMX in the fall because I had gotten good grades, right? I had an honor roll report card. My aunt sent that honor roll report card into 104 WDKX in Rochester, They recognized my good grades, sent me two tickets to the Cash Money Millionaires Rough Riders concert. We went and saw the concert. When we came out of it, I was like, oh, we stink like weed. My aunt's like, did you do any? I was like, no. She's like, well, yeah, it's a rap concert. What the hell did you expect? And I was like, I don't know. I've never been to one before. It was my first concert ever. And so we went home, and I think they burned our clothes. But a few months later, it was the spring, and my aunt said, hey, your Nana wants to take you to a Neil Diamond concert. And I was like, all right, I'll go. She goes, really? And I was like, yeah, like, why would I deny? If she wants to take me, I'm honored to go. Yeah, I'll go with Nana. And she goes, I'm kidding. Your cousin Lee is taking you to go see NSYNC. And I said, awesome. Sweet, let's go. And she goes, you want to go see NSYNC? And I was like, no, I want to see all the girls in the freaking crowd. My aunt didn't even think of that. I was like, I'm going to be 16 in a crowd full of just chicks. Are you crazy? Hell no. Like, yeah, I'm in. Let's go. Had a blast. Had a blast at that NSYNC concert. And then we got in our van, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, and I, and we drove to Windsor in Canada, where NSYNC was going, because their next stop was, I believe, Detroit. And then they met them in the casino. We weren't old enough to get in there because we were only 16. But they went and got NSYNC's autographs for my cousin. But yeah, it was an awesome weekend, man. That was awesome. See, I heard Corey Couch is playing well at corner. He's playing well, but he's not playing make the roster well. He's definitely a priority practice squad player well. Bro, that sounds dope. It was dope, bro. It was freaking dope. Rochester had some crazy concerts. You are not lying, man. WDKX came through for me back in the day, man. See, concert was in the North Meadows in Hartford. Okay, no, so you went to the one probably a couple weeks before the one I went to. But I think they went from East Coast to West Coast. Did I get them? I didn't get them. And so they're moving from East Coast to West Coast along the northern part of the country. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was at the time the HSBC Arena in Buffalo. My concert was Olivia Newton-John during her physical tour in Buffalo back in the 70s. I think I was 12 or so. Yeah, you were 12, but you were excited. Olivia Newton-John, I was a pretty lady. Pretty lady. But yeah, Daquan Hardy, he's making some noise to see some defensive snaps. So when Taren needs a break, don't be surprised. See, the players seem to be talking up Von Miller and that he's back. Any inside scoop about Von Miller's performance during practices and red and blue scrimmage? So I didn't really get to see a lot of that, but I did hear he looks the part. I heard he's got the bend back. Yeah, I bet you were very excited. Gonna get physical. Oh, Lord have mercy. But Von Miller, from what I understand, is getting very physical in camp. And he's got that bend back. He's starting to play like the old Von. Is he the old Von? Well, he's old Von, but he's playing more like himself than he did last year, which is expected. You know, last year coming off that ACL, yeah, I mean, we all know it takes about a year, and then they didn't bring him back till about a year, but that's physical recovery. You know, that physical recovery for that is there. And then all of a sudden, the mental hurdle hits, and you have to trust that knee. You have to believe in it, and it just physically was cleared. So I think you're going to see Von Miller in a third down linebacker role, a lot like he did Leonard Floyd last year. He's got a running mate to run that third down defensive end role, that third down role with Dwayne or Dwan Smoot. And depending on down and distance, those two guys will alternate those third downs. If it's a run, or a rundown, most likely, you'll see Dwan Smoot out there. And Dwan Smoot is perfectly capable of getting sacks. But I can see Von Miller putting up 9.5 to 10.5 sacks next year. I'm excited about Von Miller. I think that he's going to be fine. John Robert, I heard 40 is back. I heard the same thing, but, you know, I want to see it. I want to see it. And I know he's probably not going to see any preseason snaps. It's not going to happen. But you will see Dwan Smoot. You will see Dwayne Carter. You're probably going to see, you know, Austin Johnson on the defensive line. Maybe some AJ Epenesa, but yes, sir. I think that 40 is back. So what about letting him be a Sam setup next to Groot? Very possible. We did that a lot with the Lorax, Lorenzo Alexander. So Lorenzo Alexander was a defensive end, or excuse me, a rush outside linebacker under Rex Ryan. When McDermott took over, they basically kept him at rush outside linebacker. And when we ran, you know, some specific 3-3-5 type sets, you saw Lorenzo Alexander playing that role. So you could see it happen. I tested positive for COVID. Buddy, Jacob, I hope you feel better. I hope you're not feeling sick at all. I hope that it's just a, you know, you have it, but you don't feel it. I hope that you're doing okay, okay? I'll try and give you a call tomorrow, okay, buddy? You let me know. Love you, buddy. Losing Leonard Floyd was a tough loss. Hopefully Von Miller will more than make up for it. Thanks. I agree with you there. Losing Leonard was a tough loss, but he kind of toned down towards the end of the season. And then when A.J. Epenesa got hurt, you know, we kind of missed him too because he hurt his ribs, I believe. And he wasn't really the same going into the playoffs. And people were like, the pass rush sucked in the playoffs. I was like, well, yeah, Leonard Floyd, I don't know if he was dealing with an injury or if he was just tired or fatigued. And then Epenesa with the rib injury, you know, we lost two of our guys. And then Von Miller wasn't Von Miller. We had Groot and Shaq, and that was about it. And so we'll see what happens. Von will get a sack against Arizona in week one, calling it now. I'm with you. Hell yeah. Call your shot, baby. Do it. So what up with Cole Bishop? He injured his shoulder, I think, or his elbow. He hurt his arm. He hurt his arm. And so he's week to week right now. He's making the team, though, so that's not really much to talk about there. See, I was so glad we retained Rasul Douglas. That was a great acquisition. Yeah, it was. Even though he's only probably going to be here for 2 years, I think that right there saved our season last year because he made some crucial plays for us. See, Anthony Padilla, last I heard, he hurt his shoulder and is week to week. Yep, correct. Has Dwayne Carter done anything in camp? Haven't heard much on him. I haven't heard much on him either. I heard that he's having some good reps with the second team, but he's not making any crazy noise yet. But we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. It takes time sometimes for those defensive tackles, especially guys who are smaller like him. Ed Oliver is a freak of nature, which is why he was a first-round pick in the top 10. And took him time to really get there. So I would expect nothing less from any other defensive tackle. Week to week for Cole. There we go. All right, next player on my list. Last player on my list. Moving up the depth chart. And looks like the spot is locked down for him, potentially, with the injury of Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards. Safety Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin has been playing very well. Playing very well. I know some people have their doubts. Last year, you know, after the unfortunate, well, heart injury, you know, the cardiac arrest he had, the comorbidio cordis that he suffered. Having a year like last year where it's kind of a down year makes a lot of sense. You know, the Bills didn't want to really ramp him up and send him out there. So instead, they gave him kind of an easy year. He saw some plays. Obviously, the fake punt pissed everybody off. Tried to give him a little a hero snap. Didn't work. So there's that. But he's been playing very well at safety for the Buffalo Bills, aside freaking Taylor Rapp. And I think that Damar Hamlin is going to make this team easily. And I think that they're bringing in other safeties to take reps in camp because Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards are down. But you're going to see Damar Hamlin probably start. And then after the season starts, you may see someone like Micah Hyde come back. Well, I don't think he wants to do camp, and I don't think he wants to, you know, put himself through the rigmarole that happens before the season until the season starts. And then he's like, all right, we bypassed all that crap. I'm ready to come back healthy, healed, in shape. Like, if that's the move. Some people are like, why didn't we bring him back now? Because he'd have to go to camp. He probably doesn't want to go to camp. Also, figuring out the money for him, you know, when we start cutting down, or as of right now, only the top 51 players count towards our cap. There's going to be some moves that happen that potentially limit how much we can potentially pay a Micah Hyde. And so that's a complicated issue in and of itself. But DeMar Hamlin has taken over that number two safety spot by hook or by crook, because, you know, the injuries have made it so. But it looked like he was doing that anyway. And here we are. Who do you think will be our third safety because of the injuries? I think it's going to be Mike Edwards, but here's the thing. If they bring back Micah Hyde, DeMar Hamlin becomes our third safety, because you don't bring in Micah Hyde to sit on the bench. He's not that guy. You don't sit him on the bench. If Micah Hyde comes back, he's starting. It's him and Rapp. Or him and Hamlin. But Rapp is taking over that room. He's the leader of that room. So the de facto leader would be Taylor Rapp. So it'd be Taylor Rapp, Micah Hyde. It really depends on how they decide to play this and how, and if Micah Hyde decides to come back. Notice how there is no number 23 on this roster right now. It's a thing. Very potential possibility that Micah Hyde comes back. But again, if Micah Hyde comes back, he's going to start. He's not coming back to the bench. They got to get the money, the monetary issue, out of the way. The financials have to be on point for Micah Hyde to even consider coming back. That moves DeMar Hamlin to the third spot. And a lot of the guys that they've been bringing in to look at are going to be cut. The question is, who do they cut? Do they keep Mike Edwards, or do they keep the older guy that just brought in, Kareem Jackson? Do they keep four safeties or five? Does that include Cam Lewis? It's a lot of stuff to really look at there. But if Mike Hyde comes back, he's coming back to start, or he will retire or request his release and then try again next year, maybe. We'll see. DeMar, like Vaughn, had an off year. It looked like DeMar is playing for his future. He is playing for his future. You could do worse than Hamlin as safety three or four, I guess. Yeah, you could. I mean, he when Micah Hyde got hurt that year in week two, and DeMar Hamlin took over, he played well. He didn't play great, but he played well. So there's that. So curious about Travis Clayton, the guard who is the international player. So he's actually a tackle. But I haven't heard much about him either. He's basically learning the position as he goes. A lot like Gable Steveson, learning defensive tackle. But Gable Steveson has actually made some plays. He's actually gotten some sacks and some tackles for a loss. He's busted through the line. He's been causing some havoc. Haven't heard anything about Travis Clayton. So he's going to be on the practice squad, learning the position. I mean, at worst, he's, you know, who's that fast guy we had from the UK a few years ago, played running back, had that crazy run in the preseason, and people were like, I'm forgetting his name. At worst, he's that. But at best, he could be a Jordan Mailata. You know, he could be a right tackle that take Spencer Brown's spot if he gets good fast like Jordan Mailata did, which is possible, but I don't know how likely it is. I doubt it. It's not that likely, but it's only happened once, and that's Jordan Mailata. So we'll see what happens. In my opinion, Hyde is a break glass in case of emergency later in the season signing. That's not a bad opinion to have, but it is what it is. Chiefs Kingdom. All right. Nice to have Chiefs fans in the audience. Man, welcome to the show, and you are welcome to come back anytime if you want to debate or just, you know, bounce some ideas off. You know, we're here for that. So go Bills, and, you know, we'll hopefully see y'all again in the playoffs, and hopefully we win this time. But, you know, hasn't gone good for us yet. All right. I think Hyde will be someone you call late in the season if needed. I think that was the plan until this stuff happened. I think that was the plan. Fans forget Hammond played pretty well early in his career. Plus, he is in his last year of his rookie deal. It's his best chance to prove himself. He can prove himself, right? And let's say he does prove himself, and the Bills re-sign him, or they don't. Maybe he proves himself, but he doesn't prove himself on like a level that they're going to pay him over Taylor Rapp. So they keep Rapp, they keep Bishop, they let Hamlin walk. He might be trying to get back to Pittsburgh. You know, he might be trying to go home. And last I checked, next to Minka Fitzpatrick, they can use another guy who, you know, can set the tone with them. And that might be a way to go. Plus, Micah's neck, he may stay retired to spend time with his kids. He's not retired. he hasn't filed his retirement papers, so he's not retired. But for him, it's you know, it's Buffalo or nowhere. Say Stevenson practiced with Aaron Donald. Yes, he did. Yeah, he had a few TDs. Yep. Let's be clear. Hamlin may be playing well in practice, but he's not a good safety. He's not a good or bad safety. He's an average safety, in my opinion. And when I say average, you have your not starters, you have your starters, you have your greats, and you have your bads. He's in the middle somewhere. Where in the middle? I don't know. He's not a bad safety, though. But I would agree, he's not necessarily a good safety. But we'll see. Don't sleep on Rousseau. He only had one full season in college, finished second in sacks behind Mr. Chase Young that year, and he's had a better career in the NFL than Chase Young, too. So let's remember that. Go Bills. Chiefs coming in hot. Hey, we'll see what happens. Didn't Micah Hyde say it's the Bills or retirement? Yes, that's exactly what he said. I'm hoping the defense stay healthy. So we shouldn't need Micah Hyde, but I would love to see him out there. Look, if we get to the end of the season or, you know, to the last stretch and that's when they decide to bring him back, fine. That's if they decide to bring him back, but we'll see. Christian Wade is who you're thinking of. Yes, Christian Wade, the International Pathway Program guy we had before. He was a 29-year-old running back from the UK. He had an awesome accent and a big old gap, but he knew how to hit a gap in the preseason. I don't know. We don't know what he did in regular season, what he would have done, but yeah. He wants to play for Pittsburgh, Hamlin. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that's home. Who wouldn't want to play for their hometown team, especially if you're not going to be a top-paid safety? Go home. Enjoy yourself. Be with your family. Make a difference in your home city. I'm sure he'll be thankful to Buffalo forever, and he's a Bill forever because he's been here for 4 years. Right? So we're always going to look at him in a positive way, just like we did for Arthur Motes. You know, like he played his ass off here. He played his ass off in Pittsburgh. Was he a great player? No, but he was good enough to be recognized by us, and we love those guys, even though they were part of the drought, the Arthur Motes and those guys. But I think that he wants to go home. And so if he plays his ass off here, he can then go and look to get a contract at home. See, Quandre Diggs signed with the Titans, safety for the Seahawks, I believe he was before. Now he's a Titan. That's interesting right there because the Titans are low-key good team. They're a team that people are sleeping on. People aren't even thinking about the Titans right now. The Titans are potentially nasty this year. And so the Tennessee Titans with the wide receivers they acquired, like I'm going to pull up their roster. I'll pull up their ESPN-generated depth chart, and you guys may be surprised as to who they got. Low-key, they're not being talked about at all, and the Titans are much better, I think, than people are giving them credit for. Quarterback Will Levis and then Mason Rudolph as their backup, along with Malik Willis as their third guy. Running back Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Not a bad running back room, along with Hassan Haskins and Julius Chestnut. Wide receivers, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tyler Boyd. If you want to give your young quarterback, who showed some potential last year, had an epic comeback against Miami, and showed some promise, but has a lot of the young Josh Allen, like rookie year Josh Allen tendencies, and you want to bust him out of that, you don't go get him one number one receiver. You give him two. And then a 2B or a 2A. Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins, and Calvin Ridley is a stupid-ass receiving core. That's crazy. That's crazy. And then you give him a Chigozium Okonkwo at tight end, Josh Wild, Nick Vett. I don't know any of those guys. I think Chigozium is a rookie, maybe. Let me go ahead and pull him up real quick. He 24 years old, University of Maryland. Nope, he's been in the league for 2 years. Then their offensive line, J.C. Latham, Peter Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry III, Daniel Brunskill, and Dylan Raduns. The Titans are freaking insane. Oh, look at this guy. Guess what? You are band bum in here talking that racist nonsense. Get the hell out of here. Not even going to show your comment. That was nasty. I'm gonna keep myself clean. I'm not saying anything nasty about that. That was pretty horrible. If you saw that in the comments, guys, because you guys can see the comments, I definitely banned that idiot. That was disgusting. I know the YouTube guys could see it. Facebook would have freaking took him down immediately, but YouTube's a little more free. It's a little more free. Anyways, but yeah, that Tennessee Titans offense, yeah. I heard Hopkins is down for 6 weeks. That may be true. He may be down for 6 weeks, but behind him, you still have, where is it? Treylon Burks. You've got Kyle Phillips, who they brought in. Westbrook Ikhine. Jaquan Jackson. I mean, Tyler Boyd as a slot guy, along with Calvin Ridley, is already beast enough. Like, they've done their thing. They've done their thing. I didn't see it in my comments. Okay, so he basically said that Buffalo is not title town, it's N-word town. That's what he said. So do with that what you will. Pretty disgusting. Sad that human beings like that live in this country or in this world. I really wish people could get over themselves and all that BS, but you know what? You deal with it. What's good, Izzy? Hey, Joey. You're a little late to the party, but hey, this will be up so you can rewatch it if you want. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo. Indeed. All right, guys. So it's been an hour and 24 minutes. Joey Hatcham, read your comment here and let you know. Elam looking good. Shavers is looking good. Coleman is looking good. I'm on cloud nine. That's what I'm talking about. Say, Buffalo is a city of good neighbors. You're damn right it is. And people like that talking on here can kick rocks, and I hope it's a boulder. So he couldn't walk a mile in this town speaking that way. No, he couldn't, because he would have been dealt with not just by the black people. The white people would have messed him up too. You have no idea. Like conservative or liberal in Buffalo, we don't tolerate that crap. It is what it is. Like, city of good neighbors for a reason. So Curtis Samuel separating himself from the rest of the wide receivers in camp. He's doing really well. Him and Coleman and Shakir are all playing very well. I love that. I love that. But guys, it has been an hour and a half. And it is time to shut this bad boy down, guys. I hope to have you guys all back here next week. Every Sunday, 7 p.m., Built in Buffalo, YouTube, Facebook, and X. I hope that guy never comes back. But, yeah. I'm really, really happy with you guys. I'm happy you guys are here. I love you guys all. Go Bills. You guys take care and enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless you. Let's roll.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.